Good morning again, everyone. Before I actually start into the lesson, you know, it is the Thanksgiving season right now. And as a church, we want to help our community in being able to celebrate Thanksgiving and just help people that need a little help right now. And so I'm going to invite Phil to come on up and just give us a few details of how we can help out some members of our community.
Church, good morning. The last few weeks, we've been collecting ShopRite gift cards for many of the poor families of families in need in Rockland County. And many of these families, if not all of them, were families that we really supported when we had Hope for Kids at the Hope School. You know, we were helping, taking care of their kids, running programs, and they really appreciate it. But BOCES has still kept in contact with these families. And we thought it would be great during this Thanksgiving season to be able to give to these families financially so that they can get enough food for Thanksgiving meals in that time. So we've been collecting the last couple weeks. Today's the last day we can collect it, or I can collect it. It's been Alejandra, myself, and Iris that have been collecting this. Iris is in San Francisco, so she won't be here. Alejandra's not here, so I'm it. Okay, so if you have any gift cards with you, please see me today and give that to me. I'll be coordinating with BOCES, and we'll be meeting this week to be able to give that to the families. About 20 families, and it's going to be a great opportunity for us to give in a great way, and I'm sure they'll appreciate it. All right, so let's be generous.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for that. And if you don't have a gift card on you right now, then and you still want to give, then I'm sure that you can talk to Phil and figure out a way for you to go ahead and be able to give. But we are going to try to make those deliveries this week so that the families will have time to shop, you know, before Thanksgiving is actually upon them. So this is a way for us to do a little good in our community, and we are grateful for that opportunity. I want to thank Shenard for his communion message today. Thank you, brother. Great job. And more importantly, glad to see you healthy and really grateful for the answered prayers with you and your health. So we're really grateful for that. I also personally haven't had a chance to congratulate Chris on being elected judge and winning his election. So Chris and Alejandra, I know it's a family thing. I know you didn't do it alone. And I also know that there are people even here that were helping you. And so that's just excellent. Excellent. God has blessed you in that way, and we are so happy for you. And you know, it really is great to have disciples who are going to be at the place that you are to be able to help other people and to really truly administer good justice to people, which is kind of my topic for today. So it all blends in together, and I'm grateful for that. I also know that we have a number of young people with us today. Great to have the young people out. Grateful that you are here. I listened to, yes, excited about that. I listened to Ryan McCullough last week as he was talking about that a little bit, and he challenged us as preachers to keep our messages under 20 minutes. And so I have my clock going right here. And if I stop, if I find 20 minutes going around, I'm just going to end wherever I am, you know, because of what Ryan said. And so, but I also noticed there's some new faces here. Great to have you out with us. Really appreciate you visiting and being with us today. And just grateful that we can worship together, that we can look at God's word together. On my ride to church today, I was looking at the fall colors, and it's beautiful and majestic. I've been on walks every day this week because I just wanted to enjoy the weather and to look at the foliage. And as I was looking at the foliage and just admiring the trees, and I had some jazz music on the radio, and I'm driving up from New Jersey, I missed my exit. And let me tell you, when you're in New Jersey, you never want to miss your exit, okay? That is just like one of the things you never, ever do. And so I ended up at church 15 minutes later than I planned. But it's okay because I had beautiful leaves and beautiful jazz music and enjoyed myself in spite of being about 15 minutes later than I planned on being here. But it is that type of year, and so I hope you're enjoying the beauty of nature. I hope you're enjoying this Thanksgiving season and this holiday season that we're heading into right now. Yeah, I wanted to talk about one specific question in the Bible today. There are a lot of good questions, both in the Bible and around life. One good question is from the rich young ruler, asked Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Now, that's a great question. I like the show New Amsterdam on TV. I don't know if you watch it or not, but the guy who runs the hospital right now, I won't spoil it for you. Anyway, his main question every time he comes across a problem is, how can I help? That's a really good question to ask. How can I help? But also in the Bible, there's another question, and it comes in with one of the foundational scriptures, at least for me in my life. That's what we've been talking about in the series, foundational scriptures. And one of my foundational scriptures is from the prophet Micah, and it's Micah's chapter 6 and verse 8. So you can turn there, or you can just listen, because as you spend your time turning, I might be through reading, okay? It's very quick, but it's incredibly profound. And it just says, this is Micah saying, he, and when he says he means Yahweh, God, okay? God has told you, O mortal, sometimes translated as O human, or O person, what is good? And then here comes the question, a brilliant spiritual question. What does the Lord require of you? Now, this is a good question for all of us to ask. What does God require of me? And you might, if you sat back and think about it spiritually, you might think about, well, he requires this and he requires that. But just go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. And the Bible answers it. Micah answers it directly. What does God require of us? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Three things there. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. All under this amazing umbrella of with your God. Since we live with God, and since we believe in God, and since we value God, we also value how he wants us to live. And he wants us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Now that's something all of us can memorize. You know, from the smallest child here to the oldest one of us, that we need to do justice, we need to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. But the difficulty is not in memorizing it, the difficulty is in living it out. Because those are challenging concepts. How are we going to do justice around us? How are we going to love kindness around us? And how are we going to walk humbly with our God? Well, this is what we want to talk about. These three concepts, these three infinitives, which are really verbs, of what we need to be doing. Three choices that we need to make every day in our life. To do justice, that's the first one. I like to translate the word justice, in the Hebrew it's mishpat. I like to translate that as fairness. We need to act fairly with people around us. And we need to expect fairness when we look around us and see the way people are treated. But how are we doing in our personal lives with just treating people fairly, treating people equitably, treating people with a sense of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? We want to be treated fairly, and so do we treat other people fairly? To look out and actually administer justice and live in a just way, a fair way with everyone around us. The next one is to love kindness. Kindness within it carries the concept of compassion. That compassion means literally, the English word means, to suffer with people. That we see people that are hurting, we see people that are on the margins, we see people that haven't had advantages in life. We look at, for example, underserved communities, and our heart says, I need to do something here. I need to help out here. That's kindness, just being kind to people. This is something I like to say to people all the time. I see people, sometimes their tempers are starting to flare. Sometimes they're starting to say things at each other that I know that they're going to want to take back later. And I say, guys, let's just be kind. Okay, you might have a really good point, but the way you're saying it right now, there's no kindness in your voice. There's no gentleness in your voice. Let's just calm down and let's talk like Christians right now. Let's talk like Jesus right now. And let's be kind to one another. And we need to love that. We need to love when we see kindness going on and love practicing kindness. And then the last one is to walk humbly. Walk humbly. You know, the attitude that I am going to not put myself first. Instead, I'm going to put myself last. That's a big teaching of Jesus, one of his hardest teachings. But it's there, and he says it. We need to look out to how we're going to serve other people and help other people, that we're going to be humble, that we're approachable, that we are teachable. Walk humbly. And all of this under the umbrella of with your God. We do this because God wants us to do it. They're challenging concepts. So we need God's help to do these things. Chris Marshall, in his little book of Bible Justice, says this. He's talking specifically about justice. Justice is one of the most frequently recurring topics in the Bible. For example, the main vocabulary items for sexual sin appear 90 times in the Bible. Okay, only 90 times. While the major Hebrew and Greek words for justice appear over 1,000 times. Justice appears 10 times more often than anything that has to do with sexual sin. But so often, when we come to church or when we get in Bible studies or we're listening to Bible lectures, we're hearing the other one about ethics and morality versus how you're treating people. Are you loving up on people around you? Are you a person of justice? And in the Bible, when we find God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit or the Hebrew prophets or the kingdom of God, we find justice. So when you look at Micah 6:8, you're seeing, let me do justice, let me love kindness, and let me walk humbly with God. Now you might ask, okay, well, give me an example of how to do that. That's what the Gospels are for. That's what Jesus did. I mean, you look in the Gospels, Jesus, every single day, he did justice, he loved kindness, and he walked humbly with God. He not only did it, but he taught it. And one of his greatest teachings of it is another foundational scripture. So I'm going to give you two foundational scriptures in one lesson. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it's in Luke chapter 10. Now, you might want to turn over to that because it's a little longer reading, and by the time you get there, you'll be able to look through it with me. But it's in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gives this story of the Good Samaritan, and he says, "Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That was one of our foundational scriptures that we taught earlier in this semester. And he said to them, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked, who is my neighbor? And this is where Jesus tells the parable. Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling near him, when he saw him, he was moved with pity. That word is compassion. He was moved with loving kindness for the person. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. When I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. The one who treated him with justice, fairness, the one who showed loving kindness to the person. Jesus said, and I want you to note here, This is the only time with any of the parables that Jesus says this. The only time. He said, go and do likewise. And that, Jesus not only ends the story, which is a great story, but he says, this is a story for all of us to follow as an example in our lives. Be the good Samaritan. So do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. When we lived in Israel for a year, we went out into the Judean wilderness, and we took a few people with us, and Chelsea and Daniel, they were young. Chelsea was, I believe, in the second grade, and Daniel was in kindergarten. She might have been first grade and pre-K, but around in there. And so we were going to do a family devotional with them. And I hope you enjoyed the family devotional with the Carries. And we plan on doing more of those devotionals. And if you would like to volunteer for one of those devotionals, see the Riveras, and they'd be glad to put you on the list to be able to do one of those family devotionals. We were having this family devotional. We were acting it out, which is what you do often with family devotionals. You take a Bible story and act it out for our grandkids. They love the story of Jonah and the big fish, and I'm always the big fish, and I get to swallow them and spit them out, and they love me swallowing them and spitting them out, and that's what you do in family devotionals. Well, we asked Chelsea and Daniel, you know, they knew the story, and we said, who do you want to be in the story? And of course, both of them said, the robber. We want to be the robber that lays waste with this poor victim and leaves him on the side of the road. And it was that point that we knew that we were in trouble, okay, right there. We were like, please, want to be the Good Samaritan, because that's the point of the story. Well, in all of our lives, how are we doing being the Good Samaritan? Are you doing justice? Are you loving kindness? And are you walking humbly all under the umbrella of with your God? How are you doing that? One person wrote this about Jesus. Jesus' life is a demonstration of how to live and love. That's so true. Jesus incarnated intentional love. He demonstrated willful, purposeful, and creative love. Love for God, self, neighbor, truth, righteousness, and justice. Jesus envisioned what didn't yet exist. He championed freedom from oppression, discrimination, exclusion, inequity, poverty, sin, and injustice. Jesus loved. And so Jesus not only taught the parable of the Good Samaritan, you look throughout the pages of the gospel and you see him living out the story of the Good Samaritan, reaching out to people who couldn't help themselves, touching lepers that had never been touched, feeding the hungry who had no chance of finding their next meal, giving sight to the blind, and helping those who couldn't hear to hear. And with everyone that he came in contact, speaking to their spirit, speaking to their soul, like the woman by the well in Samaria, trying to heal her soul and also help her with her life and where she lived in life. That's just who Jesus was. And so when we look around us, I think especially in this season right now, where we are giving thanks for the things that we have in life, we need to look beyond us, and we need to see people that don't have everything that we have. And we need to ask ourselves, how can we share what we have with others? How can we help people? Maybe it won't be a thing that's going to change their lives forever, but maybe it'll help make their week or their day a little bit better. And by that, we shine the love of God on them. That can come through us if we make the decision to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. An article I read says this, and I'm challenged by this. I hope it'll challenge you as well. It's talking about justice. It says, 8-year-olds who cannot read, families cannot drink water without getting sick, HIV-positive women cannot protect their newborn children. Funerals displace preventable deaths. Children go to bed hungry 7 nights a week. Parents bury their children because they died of malaria. Women, young girls, and boys are exploited as sex slaves. Workers labor for scandalous wages to fashion designer clothes. The earth is abused without regard for future generations. Skin color and social status padlock doors of opportunity. The healthy and educated cannot use their strengths to work. The righteous and holy disregard the impoverished and unclean. God's compassion is closeted in sanctuaries and temples. The strong and the privileged disregard the weak and the oppressed. And the conclusion is injustice rules. Countless lives are squandered, and shared humanity is disgrace, and darkness prevails. Let's not allow darkness to prevail. Instead, let's let light to prevail. Let's decide in all of our lives that we are going to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.